You're listening to another sermon by Pastor Michael Zapata from the Potter's House Christian Church.
Amen. We want to get to the Word of God this morning, and in light of Anzac Day yesterday, we want to continue in this momentum. And right now, to be able to testify quickly in regards to Anzac Day, we're going to have Aaron Graham come up and share what Anzac means to him. Aaron served as a veteran, or Aaron Graham, sorry. Praise God. In light of, praise God. Good morning, church, once again to our online service. I want to make you special, feel welcome. In light of, praise God, we want to get to the Word of God this morning. And we want to quickly take the opportunity. I've invited Aaron Graham, who is a veteran of the New Zealand Defence Force Army between February 1994 and December 2012. He's going to quickly come up and he's going to share about what Anzac means to him. And then we're going to observe the last post with a minute's silence. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 4 through to 7 this morning. The Bible says these words: "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign amongst you when your children ask in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." Why don't we quickly pray before we begin our service? Let's pray. Father God, I'm asking you right now to be able to speak to each and every one of us. Lord, as we remember those that have gone before us, those who fought, those who laid down their lives for us, I'm believing, Father God, that you would quicken their sacrifice to our hearts this morning. I'm praying that through your word, you would help us once again to remember the sacrifice that you made for each and every one of us. We're so thankful that we can be gathered around your word. We're asking your blessing upon this morning. And all God's people typed in amen and amen. We want to look this morning at a sermon entitled Remembrance in light of the Anzac Day that we had yesterday. Firstly, I want to focus on the fragile minds. Now, memory develops over time, and the longer that we are alive, the more that we are required to retain what we have learned. Now, this serves to be a challenge as we develop from our young minds to then adolescent and then becoming adults. It's always forgetting things and forgetting to do things, forgetting to do the common chores around the house. I can't tell you how many times my parents having to remind me, "Have you cleaned your room? Have you picked that up? Go and do this. Have you done your homework?" Why? Because the younger that we are, the harder it is to retain or the memory that is being developed. And so we find that retention becomes a priority over time. That the longer that we are alive, the more that we value importance of memory. Just recently, having to experience as a parent, dropping off my children at school. And it always surprises me. Every time I pick up my children, I like asking them what they did through the day. Who did you play with? Did you paint? Did you draw anything? How was your day? It's always the heartbreaking response that I receive from my daughter, Lily. I don't know. You don't remember who you played with? I don't know. You don't remember what you did all day? I don't know. Then why am I spending all this money on your education if you're just not retaining what you're being taught every single day? And obviously, there's a bit of humor there. But the truth is that we understand the older that we get, the more important our memory is. We value what we are absorbing, what we are learning each and every day. Now, what I want to highlight that in our text describes a responsibility of those who have gone before to remind those who are following after. In other words, here are the leaders of the tribes of the children of Israel that the Bible says you are going to now carry a memorial stone on your shoulder before the children cross, and this will be as a remembrance. Now, what you have to understand is the context of our scripture. It is speaking about momentum. The children of Israel have now escaped slavery in Egypt, and now they have journeyed through the wilderness, finally coming to the Jordan and having to cross over. All the while, miracles were transpiring in their adventures. Year after year, God demonstrating His power of provision, His power of deliverance. Many times, demonstrating His power in a personal way. And so finally they get to the point where they're going to cross into the promised land, and God stops them before the Jordan and says, I want you to do something for me, because this is important. It'll be as a memorial, as a time of remembrance. And God's intention was for those who came after those leaders, it had to do with the children that would be raised in the promised land. It had to do with the next generation that had to understand the value and importance of remembering the past victories. In verse 6 of our text, the Bible says, this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And so it's the responsibility of those who have gone before. It is the responsibility of those who have fought the good fight, bore arms, that have resisted the enemy, to be able to now remind those that are following in the footsteps so that we don't forget. Because how many know we're prone to forgetting? Jesus, in the Gospels, there's a confrontation, and His disciples are involved with this, with the religious leaders. And this confrontation between the religious leaders and the disciples of Jesus Christ has to do with bread. And the Bible says that it leaves the disciples confused about this minor issue. Jesus has to remind them. In Matthew 16, verse 9 through to 11, the Bible says, do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Here is Not only a short period of time had gone past, but Jesus is having to remind the disciples of the miracles, of the teachings, of what it is that he's there for, the very reason of why he came down. But it's very easy, this highlights, it's very easy for us to forget the miracles, to forget what Jesus Christ has spoken, what he has said about that, where it's human nature. And so the Bible in our text uses these stones to serve as a trigger for the remembrance of the past. You know, history never repeats. In fact, it's never really, if it does repeat, it's never exactly the same. And these moments that can't be relived, they can't be reenacted exactly the same, must ultimately be retold and remembered in order for them to continue to hold its gravity and the importance and the power behind the past. There must be a retelling so that we can remember. Just this year in 2020, COVID-19 struck and a nation was closed down, countries upon countries closed down because of the effects of COVID-19. But it's very interesting at how people rallied together and said, we cannot stop Anzac Day. We cannot prevent COVID-19 from remembering those that have fought for us, those who laid down their lives. And so thus, Driveways at Dawn was born. A man who thought this is important, we cannot neglect it, not even COVID-19 is going to stop us remembering those who laid down their lives for us. But let me bring the spiritual application this morning. God has done, no doubt, miracles for each and every one of us. Knowing that we have fragile minds and we are so susceptible to forgetting things that God has done for us, my question is, have you forgotten what God has done for you? Do you still honor Him? Do you still take time and honor Him for what He has done for you in your life? Because God forbid we forget. So I want to look secondly at the crossing. Now, no doubt during this time of crisis, we've stumbled upon so much, fake news or taking the liberty of expanding the truth. There's been bogus history, people that have tried to rewrite or change or adapt it to fit how they perceive it. And the truth is that in crisis, these things can happen. And even in our everyday life, we are prone to exaggerating the truth. We can hear those stories about the men who went out and they caught fish and they explained the fish was this big, you know, and it grows each time. We've done it ourselves where we forget the truth. We leave it behind and we get carried away with telling a good story. And we forget, you know what, the facts make things so boring. And so we exaggerate the truth so it becomes humorous or entertaining. But one thing about history is that it requires facts. In fact, what makes history credible, it's its ability to be proven. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. It was one man from every tribe that would carry the memorial stone out of the Jordan and place it on the banks. and it would be as a memorial to what God had done, a miracle that God had transpired there on the Jordan, stopping the water from flowing, allowing the children of Israel to cross on dry land. And so here we have history being written, being able to be corroborated, not just mythology, not just a nice story to tell the children, but rather with evidence and with facts. In other words, God is saying, you're going to cross, you're going to see a miracle, but I don't want it to go amiss. I want you to participate in this miracle so that when other people ask, your children inquire, you are able to give them evidence of what I did. See, it's proven. There are facts. And let me just say this, with every miracle that God wants to do in your life, God wants to reveal Himself in a profound and intimate way. He wants you to experience that personally, firsthand. And so what we see in our text is that the responsibility of those who have gone before is now the responsibility for them to carry the weight of remembrance. Those that have gone before, it's not for you to exaggerate the truth, but rather tell it as it is. What has God done for you? What did God reveal to you? What are the miracles that He's done? And as you begin to retell that in your own personal life to the hearers and to those connected to your life, now we're going to see the weight of that remembrance being carried over to the next generation. See, it was the individuals that bore the responsibility of remembrance. The leaders who had to carry the weight. Those that went before the children. There's an old saying in light of Anzac Day. They say, we can sleep in peace because brave men stand ready to do violence on our behalf. In other words, the reason why we're able to enjoy all that we have here in Australia is because of those that are prepared to fight for us, those that are ready to resist the enemy, those that are ready to stand guard and do the heavy lifting on our behalf. Well, we see that there are endless stories of men who have gone to war, who have seen things, who have experienced things, the unimaginable. And unless they are retold, they will be forever forgotten. And for many of these men, many times they weren't considering, they weren't thinking about making history. They were just following out instructions. They were in the line of duty. They were doing what they were told. But what they understand is that as they were carrying out and living out their duty, history was being written, and now that history needs to be retold. That history needs to be spoken about. Those past experiences have to be described and narrated once again, because God forbid we forget at our own cost to our future. That if we forget what's happened, we would only discover in our future that it will cost us, maybe by reliving past mistakes, maybe by dying in the wrong battlefields, maybe by just falling victim where we ultimately didn't have to, because there have been others who have fought those fights and had victories. See, again, it's the responsibility of those who go before to carry the weight of remembrance. It's interesting at how the prophet Elisha understood this principle of remembrance. Now here is Elisha that is following in the footsteps of Elijah, wanting a double portion of what he had, of what the man of God had. And then finally, after being taken away, the Bible says in 2 Kings 2:14, then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Here is Elisha that remembered the miracle of the prophet Elijah, and he grabs the mantle and says, "I want to know where that I want to know where the God of Elijah is." See, it was this memory that triggered a miracle. It was this memory that triggered a miracle. Let me ask you this evening. Have you forgotten the miracles that God has done in your life? Have you forgotten the things that God has demonstrated to you personally? You see, the crossing was made possible by God, but it involved willing individuals who went before others and stood in the gap. You know, as we remember the Anzacs and those that fought, these were just individuals that formed an army. And I can't help but think about our spiritual army that we are as the body of Christ, that it is made up of individuals that have had a conversion, that have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, that their lives have been transformed, and as a result have submitted to God's loving leadership, His will for their lives, and now everything else is put aside, and they are ready to fight for the kingdom business. See, a church is formed by willing servants. Individuals that are willing to lay down their lives for those around them. And you know, God uses willing vessels to service so that we can inspire others. You know, your life matters to God. You may see yourself only as an individual or just a nobody. The truth is that God knows you. You're a part of His army. And you are making a difference. We are a part of something that's bigger than us. And what we are fighting for is to establish the kingdom of heaven on this earth. It's the crossing. It's the laying of the cross on our shoulders and bearing the responsibility and saying, "I am doing the will of the Father. I am laying down my life for the sake of those around me." So I want to look thirdly and in closing at the true meaning. Now what we discover is that life is filled with many battles. The different battles that we face in our lives can be battles of our happiness. We can find ourselves in battles for our own freedom, battles for finding our own purpose. And what we discover about these victories that ultimately are not automatic. If you've had the pleasure of seeing victories in your own personal life through battles as you are facing them, you'll understand that it took hard work, that it was difficult to achieve, that it wasn't automatic. Many times when we think of a battle, we become overwhelmed thinking, "Not again, I don't want to have to fight. What? When will there be peace?" But see, as Christians, there is good news. And the good news is that God is with us and He is ready to fight in our battles. He's ready to fight for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 8. With Him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Here was a king that began to prepare his people and say, "Don't worry about the men and their armor. Don't worry about their physical strength. In fact, understand that our God in heaven is fighting our battles for us." That's good news for us this morning. Can you say amen? See, knowing this principle is what gives us hope for the future. God has gone before us. He has done it in the past. Therefore, he can do it again. It's the classic story of David and Goliath. The Bible says that when confronted by King Saul, why would you want to undertake this? That David goes with such confidence to face Goliath, a man of war from his youth, faced by a little shepherd boy. And what was his equipping? What was David's equipping? It was that God had delivered him in the past. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, the Bible says, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Here is David, and he's saying, lest we forget. See, I remember what God did in the battle of the lion. I remember what God did in the battle of the bear. And therefore, now as I face down this giant Goliath, I go with the assurance that God will deliver me once again. He's done it in the past. He can do it again. That's the true meaning of a day of remembrance, is that it brings hope for those who haven't fought battles yet. Maybe you are going into a battle. Maybe you're in a battle right now. The testimony of someone that has gone before, has seen a victory, has come out the other side, is hope for you and I this morning. See, God wants us to experience a secure future. This is our hope, freedom, deliverance. But the question is, are you free this morning? Are you free or are you held captive? Thank God we have a God who fights for us. It goes into our battles with us. It's in the book of Hezekiah. It's during a time where Darius is reigning. And God speaks to Zechariah in regards to the reestablishing God's people. God wants you to experience a secure future. This is our hope, that our God is going to fight for us, that our God is going into our battles with us. And the purpose is so that you would be free. So let me ask you this morning, have you experienced this freedom? You know, it was during the reign of Darius that God spoke to Zechariah. It was in regarding God's people being reestablished, for God's presence to reside amongst them once again. In fact, the history of it is the nation had been split after Solomon's death. Half the nation had been carried off into exile. God's glory had left the temple. The rest of the nation was carried out to exile. The temple then further was destroyed. God's people were living in a foreign land for 70 years, now returning only a small portion returning, and finally a rebuilding of the temple has proven to be difficult. And so here is the word of the Lord that comes to Zechariah. Because at this very time that God is doing a reestablishing, he uses Zechariah to remind them of who God is. The Bible says, in chapter 4, verse 6, "So he answered and said, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" You know, God sends Zechariah to his people. Zechariah's name is defined as "the Lord remembers." Now, what's significant about this is not that God has forgotten them, but rather that he understands that we as his people need to be reminded of who he is. The true meaning of remembrance. That we would understand what God is trying to remind us of. You know, remembrance is a choice. It's a choice to forget the losses and focus on the victories. Because other men's sacrifices have given us the freedoms that we enjoy today. Yet the same is spiritually true, yet with greater gravity. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ gave up his life for us. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, a willing sacrifice. I want to close with the story of Ataturk. Mustafa Ataturk was the officer at Gallipoli and the founder of the modern Turkey. After faced with a great battle there in Gallipoli between the Anzacs and the Turks, many people had fallen on their shores. He summed up the battle there at Gallipoli with these famous words. He says these words, "Those heroes that shed their blood and lost their lives, you are now lying in the soil of a friendly country. Therefore, rest in peace. There is no difference between the Johnnies and the Mehmets to us. Where they lie side by side in the country of ours. You, the mothers who sent their sons from faraway countries, wipe away your tears. Your sons are now lying in our bosom and are in peace. After having lost their lives on this land, they have become our sons as well." Consider Ataturk. The famous words that have said, these men who have fallen, your children, your sons, will not be forgotten. In fact, we now embrace them as our own. Why? Because it's powerful when it comes to remembrance. One's life that has been sacrificed for the benefit of another. I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you and I would not have to perish but have everlasting life. Praise God. Why don't we quickly bow our heads this morning?